was showing him that, and then after I got off stage, Ava was like, "Are those M&Ms real?" And I was like, "Yeah,
is she really?
Yeah, they're real." And she goes, "Can I have them?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm a grandma. I'm gonna give you candy. I'm that person. You tell me you want candy, and you're licking your lips. Yeah, sure. Here, take it.
Yeah,
you know, I can get more. No problem. It's a prop, but I can get more.
You can give people candy. I give people candy. People start looking at me weird.
Oh yeah, because yeah, like, you drive
especially
a van.
The van.
Yeah, man. I stopped doing that.
That's because you stop on the corner and give me like,
yeah,
here, little child.
Well, I went this morning because they had to walk their friend back to her house.
Right.
And they're just over the road, but I still get nervous just because of everything you see nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
But I went out in my van and usually I go up to leave and get on Reno, but I went around to go catch them and see if I make sure they're doing all right. And
you're driving slow behind. Yeah,
slow behind a couple of kids,
and
in
you got
van.
A puppy in the car.
So I was like,
"Hey, children, see my puppy."
I was like, "This can't be good." But the number's on the van, you know. Like you,
but we didn't know you didn't steal it.
I wouldn't get away for long.
No,
yeah. No, I wouldn't steal kids. It's, why would I steal someone else's responsibility?
Why would
you
steal your own kid?
Yeah,
it's like, no, keep going.
I get a better one.
I don't know if they make better ones. I think they're all about the same.
No, mine are the best. it's just sweet. True.
Yeah,
in right. 5, 4, 3. Hey guys, how's it going? I'm back. I'm Nick Campbell here with my good buddy
David Steele.
And we are Rhythm and Wit. How's it going? We're here with our good friends. Introduce Miss Kitty and her bodyguard.
Frankie.
Bodyguard.
Merch guy.
Sound man. Driver. Et cetera.
Groupie.
Groupie. The whole works. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hey, how do you... I'm here to talk
Sex
to Frankie.
Slave.
I see the abuse. What are? How do you deal with it?
Day by day.
Yeah.
It's different each day.
Yeah. Well, you guys are sweet. I love having you guys on. I appreciate you guys coming. You know, you were like one of my favorite people. The first time we saw you, me and Liz saw you for a year while I was being a chicken shit. I would sit out and watch
the open mic at Bricktown. Right?
Yeah, I'd go to the open mic at Bricktown and we watch. And I had a few favorites, right? And you were definitely on the top of Liz and I's favorite. Yeah, it's your little. You have a little song you do.
Yeah.
We're gonna have you do it at the end of this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
But a little song you do, and your koozie was super funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did you bring it? Yeah, yeah. Show it to the people. Show it to the people. Make sure no kids are watching.
It says, "Do you really want to see Nana do yard work topless?" And it's me with my weed blower there, my grass blower.
Yeah, and it's hilarious. Yeah, I wanted to talk to you, bring you on here. You do so much for the community, and
thank
you helped us coming up. So I just wanted to put some shine on you, man.
All right.
Yeah.
That's nice.
So
can
what's
we
been
talk
out?
About people?
Absolutely. We can talk about whoever you want to.
Gossip.
Nobody listens.
Let's talk smack about Dennis.
He's going to be listening.
You know he is.
No, I love how you and Dennis have like a weird kind of like brother-sister. What is it? Do you hate each other? Is it like...
Let me tell you something. Dennis makes me appreciate Frankie.
Do you guys know each other before comedy?
No, actually, okay, so I like to look for freak shows, basically. I do. Okay, so I was at a Vices one night and Dennis came in, and Dennis had his banjo, and he would tell jokes and play the banjo, which I thought was totally cool, you know. And I'm like, I gotta get the contact information, gotta get him on some of my shows because I like that different, you know, variety type stuff. And so, and Frankie doesn't get jealous. You know, I walk up to an old guy and say, "Give me your phone number," you know, and Frankie, because he doesn't have any social media because he's old, right? So you got to get a phone number. Yeah. You actually call him. You don't text him. You don't know how to text. You have to call him. Now he does. He's progressing.
He's gotten better. Does he have Instagram?
No, he got kicked off of Instagram.
I was like, I know he's got Facebook.
I have no clue why he got kicked off of Instagram like 3 times or something. And I'm like, well, look at that on Instagram. And I just say that I know he's been kicked off. And he goes,
it's kind of the granny freak thing or something.
It has to do with granny freak.
Some terms and conditions.
And they think he's driving around in a big white van.
Yeah. Looking for older women.
Well, it's got to be wheelchair accessible.
Yeah.
I mean, You know what I'm saying? They got the little lift to bring you in. It's not going to get away quick, you know? No. If your grandma's out there for that long, she was meant to be taken.
Yeah.
She'd have fun with him, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, they wheel around a little bit. Yeah. But.
But he actually makes me realize how cool Frankie is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I tell Frankie, don't ever, first off, don't die on me because I don't want to ride with Dennis all the time.
Yeah. You may have to start calling Ubers at night, too.
I know, right? Calling Ubers and stuff like that. Yeah, he's a good guy, though. But so we started doing shows together, and he's like, you got, you know, it's like you guys, he's at comfort, you know, it's like when nobody shows up, he's going to be there,
you know,
unless he's dead, you know,
yeah,
unless he's dead. And
he's
then,
not there and you're like, okay, we're going to call the.
Yeah, we did that the other day. The other day, he turned his phone off. He got some new deal and he turned his phone off and I was like freaking out. I was like, oh my God, where is he? Where is he? And I called Penny, his friend. I don't know if I can call him. I don't know. But anyway, she's Penny, his friend. Mm-hmm. And I called her and she said, no, I haven't talked to him and he won't answer the phone today. And I'm like,
oh, dang.
So I said, Frankie, we got to go over there. And we go over there and I'm like banging on the door. And he comes to the door.
What are you doing here?
I'm like, I thought you were dead, man. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to have to like see your dead body through your glass window here. Yeah. No. So he's like, now he answers his phone really fast when I call because he's afraid I'm going to call the police.
He's afraid you're going to come over.
He's afraid I'm going to call his kids. Yeah. Is what he's afraid because now I connected with I said, I don't even have an emergency number for you. I'm the one who's going to find you dead. Mm-hmm. So you know what? Give me your kid's number. No. So I hunted them all down on Facebook and connected with them.
So against his will,
so I can get them on start FaceTiming people and going, "Hey, I can't find your dad. I can't find your dad." That's funny. You worry about your old friends, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, we had Frankie. He's got. Yeah. Where's your little strap, man?
I've got.
Where's
it? Oh, okay, cool.
I looked up.
You heard about this story, right? Mm-hmm. You heard about this story, but let me check. Can I talk about it?
Yeah, dude, tell
us. So what happened was he plays poker with Renegade Poker League, and it's like guys just get together. It doesn't cost anything. They just go up there to a bar and stuff like that. And anyway, about the only symptoms we had, the only thing weird that happened was about 2:45, he fell asleep in his recliner, and the game was at 3, and it was over at the Alley Club. And so I said, babe, I said, why don't you just go back to the bedroom and take a nap, right? Take a nap. Because they had another game at 8 o'clock over at Don Quixote's. So he said, no, I'm going to the game. I said, okay, cool. He went to the game. 10 minutes into the game, he passed clean out. No symptoms, no pain, nothing. He just passed out.
Just fell out.
Yeah.
They said I fell out of my chair. Hit my head, all this other stuff.
You didn't feel anything before that? Nothing?
I didn't feel a thing before it. And I woke up later in the ICU ward.
Yeah. Oh,
they said I was talking to other people and stuff. The ambulance got me awake and shocked me when the ambulance finally got there. But I don't remember anything until I was actually in the ICU ward is when my memory gilled up.
Yeah. But you were still moving around and stuff, but you weren't collecting memories.
Yeah. No.
No, he wasn't. He was passed clean out.
We went dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he
and
was
I woke
out.
Up in my ICU.
The deal about it was well, we were really lucky and grateful God was with us. Is can I say God on this show?
God.
Oh, wow. So what happened was the guy sitting across from him was a ER technician at Integra South. And he is a member of the 137th Emergency Airborne.
Airbag.
Yeah, over at Will Rogers Airport. Mm-hmm. He's the National Guard.
Can you say his name?
His name, I cannot, because let me tell you what, his first name is Miguel. His last name starts with a Z, and it's this long. It's Zamaripa. Zamaripa, I believe it is. Correct.
Oh,
he's
cool.
Tech sergeant. Anyway, so he jumped on him. Jumped on 12 minutes. The Alley Club is kind of back in a bunch of nooks and crannies, and it's like all one-way streets out there. Mm-hmm. It's over there behind the Highway Patrol on I-240 and 35.
Yeah.
And so it was like took him apparently 12 minutes from the time of the call for them to show up. And he did CPR on him. And during that time, he was out. And when the EMTs came, they shocked him. They had trouble getting him back. They had trouble getting him back. But the thing about it was the CPR. The CPR kept him alive, kept his brain good, kept his oxygen going. So he has a little bit of brain damage, but he already had that, I think. So
nothing unusual. Yeah. Nothing
so I think it was like
kind you're of almost better now.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? Like Miguel was a hero. Miguel was a hero. And they said, the guys told me, went back over there and they said, Miguel, it was way into the zone. Because when the paramedics showed up, they told him, hey, Miguel, paramedics are here. He didn't stop.
He didn't even hear it.
He didn't even hear it. No. In fact, one of the big guys there just pulled him off of him.
Yeah.
And I asked Miguel, I said, do you remember? Do you remember? What do you remember? And he does remember people were like crowding around him and he couldn't breathe. He was having trouble with the airflow because people were getting real close to him and he was sweating profusely. He was annoyed by the way that the crowd was kind of acting.
Yeah.
And then he's an EM technician and somebody had an operator, emergency operator on a phone in his face telling him how to give CPR, which that was a little annoying to him, you know, and he was doing it all. And he said, he remembers that, but he doesn't remember it stopping. First thing he remembers is going to the bar and asking the bartender for a big glass of water because he was thirsty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. But he was a miracle. God sent him that day. Because let me tell you what. Had he have stayed home, okay, he'd have gone back there and taken a nap about 6
if
o'clock.
If he'd have listened to you.
Yeah. You know, right? I'd have gone back there and said, hey, princess, you going to sleep your life away?
Yeah.
And I'd have had one big blue pop of Smurf,
right? I would have slept my
life
away.
Yeah. And I'm just so grateful. I mean, I can't imagine my life without him.
So did you guys know Miguel before that at
no,
all?
No, we did not.
Vaguely, because he played in the same poker league I did. But I mean, it's not like... You know, real buddy. Mm-hmm. We'd say hi here. You know, as you know, as you go out with a group, and there, it's a large group. We'll have up to 60 or more players that come in and play.
Yeah. So
you
can't really know.
Can't know everybody. Mm-hmm.
So another God deal. This is what I call it. Miguel had been golfing all morning.
Oh yeah.
Okay. He was sunburned.
Oh, he was tired.
He didn't want to go. Okay. He didn't want to go, and he had that. Wow. You know about annoying buddies. You know about annoying buddies. His annoying buddy said, "Come on, we're gonna go play poker. We're gonna go play." And Miguel was like, "No, I don't want to go. I don't want to go." And his buddy talked him into it, and he went. And I'll tell you what. Thank God.
That's
amen.
I know, right?
Yeah, Frankie, we're glad to have you, man.
I am.
Without you, Miss Kitty is not palatable.
Yeah, she's kind of homebounded.
Yeah. I have to hang out with Dennis.
She can't drive at night. That's one of the things she likes about me. I drive at night.
Yeah, that's why she keeps you around.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
So the thing about it is 12 minutes is about 1,500 compressions. Okay. He had pain from the compressions, and it didn't dissipate until about 3 to 4 weeks after the event.
Did they break the ribs and the sternum? Or?
Didn't break anything when they did the x-rays, but
stretched
all
it.
It stretched all the ligaments that everything's attached with.
Yeah.
And it felt like he broke something. But I mean, I'd cough or breathe deep. It was severe pain. And.
Oh, that's how people end up getting pneumonia, too, because you can't clear out your... Oh, you did?
But they said pneumonia, so when you're out like that, and you're on your back, you salivate, and then you swallow that, but it goes down your lungs. And so he had it, and it's real common, he had it in the lower right quadrant of his lungs, but he had a small case. But so I got to tell you what he does, he's complaining about Miguel... I mean, about the compressions and stuff. And Miguel is some arm candy. I'm telling you what.
He works out.
I don't know. He's
being in the military
genetics,
and everything. He has
works
to be
out,
shape.
Whatever. He's just got, he's the package, man. And so anyway, so Frankie's like, oh.
You're all right, Frankie.
He's like, yeah, he knows it.
Yeah,
he
goes, I saw Miguel's girlfriend. I'm all right.
He goes, it hurts so bad. I said, you listen to me. When a man like that is on top of you for 12 minutes. I said, stuff's going to happen. I said, you're lucky he didn't take out a hip. So Miguel's really sweet. So I didn't know who he was. The paramedics told me, they said, they came in on it and they said, we don't know who that was. They said, but whoever it was knew what they were doing. Mm-hmm. So I called Alan over at the poker league and I was like, Alan, who did this? Because I need to thank this guy, right? And so Alan told me and stuff. And then I found out his background and stuff like that. And it was just like, oh, crazy. But I feel kind of bad. I sent him a $100 gift card from Texas Roadhouse. And I was like, $100. That's all you were? $100. How do you thank somebody who does that for you? And then I'm thinking, what if I was one of those ladies who hated my husband? And I get that call, and I'm like, why you got to mind my business? Mind your own business. Stay in your own lane, man.
He's worth more dead to me.
I know. I got a big old life insurance policy. Me and you could have gone to the island. But no, you had to cross your lane.
Anyways, now, Frankie, it's good to have you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I'm so grateful he's here. I am totally grateful.
No, it's beautiful. Like I said, you guys are like a couple of my favorite people to see out. And like you said, whenever you see, you're like, oh, good. Miss Kitty and Frankie are here.
Yeah, you know? Thank you. That's sweet.
Well, you helped us out. I mean, you helped me out when I first started. I think you do it with a lot of different comedians. When you see somebody new that you enjoy or whatever, you go out to them, you go, hey, you know, welcome. You give them that grandma. You want this? You know, that, right? You got some snot. But,
no,
but you're real sweet.
Hold still. And, wipe your face off.
Like, that's when I fell in love with you. But she goes, you also do the Ugly Flamingo.
Yeah.
You've been hosting and helping people learn how to host at Ugly Flamingo. You kind of hand it off, let them build their own show, which I love Ugly Flamingo. It's a really great spot. That's where I kind of learned how to do some hosting too with you.
That's nice.
But is that something you like to help people? You see somebody you like, you're like, let me go see if we can. Because you did it with Ian Big Dick.
He's helping over there.
Been doing that more often. I think he's almost always there every time I go.
He doesn't have one, it's just his name is Big Dick.
He actually helped me out really quite a bit when Frankie had the heart attack.
Oh yeah.
And I asked him, I said, could you kind of come in on this and help me out, because I didn't know where we were going. I actually had my granddaughter babysit him the first time I buzzed over there. She's 15 years old. She got in trouble, boy trouble. And so they were trying to watch her, and I was trying to get someone to watch him. So they were watching each other.
We were babysitting each other.
It was like a win-win.
Yeah.
She got $20.
She got paid. I didn't.
But yeah, and so far as the Ugly Flamingo, what the thing is, and you know, I mean, there's no money in comedy. I mean, I'm sure there is, but I just haven't tapped into it yet. I haven't figured it out. I just enjoy doing it. And I do have a teacher's heart. And I kind of happened on to the Ugly Flamingo. It just happened to me, it kind of by accident. And so it was like, I could let that venue go, but I thought, you know, I can teach here. And especially, and you know, women, I mean, that's a big deal for me, you know, or anybody, you know, that just goes, hey, how do you learn how to host? Really, how do you learn? Now, granted, the two most important things, we have the venue, we have the date, and the time or 3D, you know, that's a big deal. That's huge. So I can give that to him, but then I go, you know, I probably should put together a workbook or something, but I just basically connect with them and ask them, you know, do what you want to do at your show. Come up with a theme. It'd be nice if we could get a little poster by, you know, if I can't get it a tabletopper, then I'll make it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them don't, you know, they just kind of roll along and just do it. And a lot of them just like jump right in and go, I want to do this. I want to do this. Yeah. And I want to do this. And I go, it's your baby. You do what you want to do. Yeah. And that's they're very good over there. Yeah. They're very good over there. They're really the crowds. They've got a regulars over there who are used to us, and they're very cooperative, you know, so it's a nice place.
Yeah. That's always something that I always see in certain bars. If you have a show, especially if they've never had a shows there, that can be tricky because the regulars or people at the bar, they're like, don't know how to act during a comedy show, especially if it's free, right? There's no charge at the Ugly Flamingo.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
So they can be disrespectful and things like that. So that's good to hear there.
The way that bar is set up, though, there's two rooms. But that what they do, and they don't give us any hassle about this, there's dart games back there, and they want to play darts, but they are very considerate about, you know, okay, the show's here, they're going to be here for a couple hours, we'll just go back over on this side and play pool, you know. And then the TVs and stuff, we can get the TVs off and things like that, and they're very considerate of us. It's a great
turn the music off and everything.
It's a great venue.
That's good. They seem really cool. I've been there a few times, so I really enjoy it every time I go.
And it, you know, it's a neat place. And I've got it booked up until like 2025, I think, till March.
Okay.
Now that doesn't mean, you know, like doing shows is kind of like herding cats. That's what I always say. So somebody can come up and go, or be, I have one person who just like at the last minute was like, I'm so scared. And I'm like, I want to say, hey, it's no big deal, but it is a big deal to them, you know? I mean, the first time I went and did comedy, I went over to the Looney Bin.
How long ago was that?
It was
when
like
did you start?
2004.
2004.
Yeah. Well, check this out. So I was like terrible stage fright, terrible stage fright. So I joined Toastmasters. My minister said, "You are so funny. Nice. You should be a comic." And I go, "Well, I have a real bad stage fright." And he goes, "Well, join Toastmasters." And I thought, "What is that?" And so I found out what it is, and they teach you public speaking, or they attempt to. And so the thing about it is I went and I said, once I do 5 speeches, I'm going to go to the comedy club. And so I did my 5 speeches, and so I went over to comedy club. And the first time I went to the Looney Bin, I live on the south side. It was way over Northwest Expressway in Rockwell. I drove over there. Mm-hmm. I drove around the parking lot, and I went home. I did. And I said,
that was the first step.
That was, and you know what? People don't realize it. But everything you do is a step in that direction, as little as it is. And I thought, well, okay, that was a win.
Yeah.
And so
more than you've been done before.
Right. It was. Okay, now I know where the club is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been there. I've been in the park. I've got a parking space over there.
Yeah, sometimes I think about that too. Whenever you're thinking about, you could do this with anything you do, right? If you know you have to do something, especially something you don't want to do, if you start thinking about the steps that you have to take to do it, it's like, just think of the first thing you have to do and then just picture it in your mind. It makes it easier.
Then looking at the big, whole, huge deal.
Because I think for you, it's like just going into the parking lot. Well, it's like maybe you didn't go into the club that night, but next time it won't be as hard to get to the club because you've done it at least. Or, you know,
would hope.
Right. But, you know, it's like you got there. You know what it's like to drive there. And it's like, okay, next time you can get further, hopefully. So,
And then the next, when I went in was 420, which is my birthday, 420. And I do have a joke about 420, you know, and then I'm allergic to pot. And I told that joke that night and everybody just, that was my first joke, you know, it's 420. Yeah. Whatever, and everybody just died laughing. And I thought, well, this is not that hard. And then I kept going the rest of the time and I was like, well, this is kind of hard, but, but I did okay. And Larry and Terry over there, they were great. They still are great, but they don't own the club anymore, of course. But so it was a nice atmosphere, great club. I enjoyed it. That was my first time, and I was really happy.
So you've been doing it for about 20 years then?
Yeah.
No, consistently? Did you start and stop anywhere?
So the thing is, and this is as me being a woman, I have things to do with family, and family does come first and things like that. And then when Frankie and I got together, he was working a really weird shift, you know, and it was like his family. I was like, I can't be in the club every night, you know, because I'm from that area. You know, what, your wife's in the club every night?
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't get it, what it's really like at a comedy club.
Right. And that's something you have to do to get better. You have to be there.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
What, I think it was like a dance hall or something.
Well, you know what, though? But when your family goes, they're at the club every night, you know, it's like, that's looks like bad.
They think you're drinking or, you know, talk to the man or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. And you are. Yeah. but it's like,
that's not the real reason.
No, but it's not what you're doing. I mean, you know, so I kind of felt guilty about that. And so I didn't really go like all the time, you know. And then.
Not as much as you wanted to, probably.
No, not as much as I wanted to, you know. And then when he retired, well, my daughter went to nursing school, and that was very important for me, and she had children, so we watched the children, which I would not change that for anything in the world, because it was very important for me to have my daughter get a job that paid well and that she could always depend on, and that she could make a living for herself and the children. So we babysit, and when you're going to nursing school, it's like, you know, we got a clinical at 3 a.m. in the morning you know, God knows where. And it's like, just put them to bed at my house, you know? Yeah. So it was like kind of a real extension of parents at that time. So, yeah, we did that. And, you know, and then it's just been like since then. And I told them, since she got her degree, I was like, we ain't watching them no more. Change the code on the house. They can get in. They actually know the codes on the house and where the keys are and stuff like that. They can just like walk home from school and come to my house.
You think you're closer with them than most people would be with their grandkids because you have that opportunity?
Yeah. One time we forgot to we dropped the ball on my granddaughter. How old was she when we did that?
She was in the 5th or 6th grade.
So my daughter calls me. We're heading to the casino. My daughter calls me. She goes, "You have Blake?" And I said, "No." She goes, "Oh, I don't have her either. I thought you had her. I said, oh, no, we thought you had her. And she's like, well, I don't know where she is. And I'm like, oh, man. I said, hold on. So I open my cell phone and I turn on the cameras inside my house. She's sitting there watching TV.
In your house?
Yeah. And then I can talk on my cameras because we don't have phones. Mm-hmm. And so I said, hey, Blakey. I said, is Nana here? I said, you okay? She said, yeah, I'm just watching TV. In your refrigerator. I'm like, that's cool. I said, listen, we all kind of forgot you. I said, and I was telling Papa here, I was like, turn it around, go back to the house. Yeah. And so I said, okay. I said, we'll be home in a minute. We'll be home in a minute. Yeah.
I would have been like, that was a test and you passed. we're going to be home in a second.
She's so funny. She just like, it's her house. She does what she wants. Yeah. It's real funny, and she wasn't even
upset. The only one that can get in the house.
She can.
Mm-hmm. We taught her how to get in the house, but we didn't tell anybody else how to get in the house.
And that's how you know you're the favorite.
That's right.
She's the most responsible of everybody.
So you know, you've been doing it since 2004.
Yes.
I mean, usually as many mics as you can get in a week, same as normal, or do you try to get at least one, or you try to get some every once in a while?
I kind of have.
Always kind of messing with it.
I have a love-hate thing going on.
With it?
With comedy, I always have.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes, like, now I'm going to say something about you. Last night you walked off stage, and you go, I'm quitting comedy.
I forgot about that.
And I felt that. I felt that. And sometimes, you know, it is love-hate. I mean, it's like an addiction or something because, like, I'll go, I'm not going to schedule anything. And then I won't schedule. Actually, that really worked out well with him. I was going through that, and I didn't schedule anything for a whole week. The week he had his heart attack.
Right.
And so I didn't have anything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that worked out well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, and then it's like, and then if I don't get booked on shows because I don't FaceTime well, I'll just make my own shows. I'm like, screw it. I'll just make my own shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I'll just like go and get a show somewhere. And I'm always working. I work constantly on that. And people don't realize the time that goes into that. Right, Frankie?
Oh, a lot of time.
How many hours a day do you think I work on comedy?
Maybe 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Between the fact of trying to set up a show someplace, trying to get comedians to come to shows, and then working on your jokes and everything else and practicing and doing just stuff. So she puts in the majority of her day is that.
Yeah.
So I just stay out of her way, go watch TV. So
he wants to stay out of my way.
You don't help her write jokes? I know you. I don't. Half your life is her set.
Well, I'm one of those deals that I just fall into it and she writes it down. That's funny. I'm going to let you.
Do you know what? Most of the time, I'd say 90% of the time, his jokes fail and I'm like, I don't even understand that. Are you speaking English? And then every now and then he'll throw something out because I still listen because every now and then he throws something out and it's like, man, I had to listen to all that garbage for that one.
So that's why she's keeping you around.
Yeah. The joke she tells about us being on a cruise ship.
Oh, the Jolly Rogers.
And the steward, the cabin steward coming around, and my real birth name is Milford, and the cabin steward says, can I call, and this happened, can I call you Milf? And it's like, she died in the background.
You should have seen the look on his face. The kid didn't know. He was from a different country. He didn't know, and he was just like,
he's just being funny.
And then he went. And then his name is Milford Frankie Francis. And so I said, nah, just call him MF. That's what I call him. And the kid goes, MF.
And the kid's name is Katoot.
Katoot. K-U-T-O-O-T. Katoot. And I said, I'm just going to call you Queef.
And the funny thing is, that's real life.
It truly happened.
It actually happened.
Because a lot of comics, I know, like, stuff will happen, and you'll change stuff and make it funnier and make stuff up, but this is all true.
It is true. Yeah, it is true.
Did the Jolly Rogers thing happen?
Yeah.
That happened, too?
Yeah, they told me to stop waving my pants. You know, because I'm a big woman, right? Yeah. My pain's big.
Yeah. So you guys got to, like, help each other fold those? Or
we got the big cardboard thing.
It's like folding a sheet.
there.
I hope to get there one day, honestly, man. That's the goal.
Do they have big panties?
Yeah. Get some big old bloomers.
Get out of those husky size, huh?
Yeah, I'm trying to get into big and tall. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to get. I want to be able to have a tarp and underwear at the same time. At any point in time, I'm ready.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. Funny things just happen to us. They really do. And then I write jokes out of hate. I really do. Sometimes if somebody will tick me off or I feel slighted or, you know, and I've got a lot of character defects. Excuse me. I will write jokes. The one he likes the best is the one about his mom. Mm-hmm. But that's really, his mother died when he was 3 years old. Mm. So she's not there. But there is a family member who kind of takes over for mom. And she is real snarky to me.
Mm-hmm. Was that, did she really give you that shirt? That was like undersized.
Okay. No, but she just always did. Yeah. You say, what did you say over there?
He said, I just shook my head. No,
he, but he loves that because it's like, still after all this time, it's not a good fit.
Yeah,
it's you so know, good. And it's like, oh my gosh.
Well, it hits like a truck too. It's soup because people have that. Yeah, that's a real thing that happens. Yeah,
yeah. Really, well, I still get this though. The attitude. The attitude is all still there and everything like that. So it's like,
How long y'all been together?
About 20 years. Yeah.
That was good. That was well done. Yeah. Anybody, years, do I say jinx or do you say jinx?
We don't say
but about jinx. 20 years. That's a, and they're still holding some kind of thing against you?
You know, I'm a gold digger or something. I don't know what
You got gold?
No, in my teeth.
I owned the trailer when we got together. Okay, paid out, clear and free.
Trailer's still a place to live.
I know, right?
I had a lot of fun in a trailer.
Roof over your head.
It's a roof over your head, and we didn't have any bills there, so he had to catch up. He was like pretty much in debt. He had a job. I had a trailer. It was great.
Like a That's match. All you need, man.
So what you got? I got a trailer. What you got? I got a job with the government.
Oh, government
my
job?
Goodness. Whew.
We can go to the doctor and everything?
Yeah.
Insurance.
So y'all been together for 20 years, and you said that you've had, I don't want to blow up your spot, but five different husbands.
Yeah.
And so that's like a lot of different lives you've lived. Mm-hmm.
True, it is. And you know what? And I always had this attitude. They say a woman marries the same kind of man over and over again. I did not. Mm. I did not. Each one of them had a unique set of problems. Yeah. And they were not like the last ones. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is I always thought, when I was younger, I always thought, see my friends sticking with somebody who really doesn't deserve it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. I want to just like, want to be happy. And I don't want to have regrets. And I don't regret anything that I've done. I don't regret. Now, except that one time when I threw the kid down the stairs. But other than that, no, I never threw him down the stairs. He deserved it, but I didn't.
Yeah, must have been a stepson.
It was a little, he's redheaded. It was that little push down there. No, I'm just kidding. Nah. To hear them tell it now, though. Wait till your kids are old. To hear them tell it, I tortured them.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's but let me tell you something. First time they need something, 45 years old. Guess who they call?
Oh, even still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even still.
Even still, they do that.
But it has to be pretty crucial. Mm-hmm. It has to be something big nowadays. You know. It's Mom, can I?
I got
home?
A colonoscopy. What do I do?
Yeah.
Mom, she's throwing me out.
Oh, one of the. I need a place. Where's that trailer?
Yeah. 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 You can't bring your dog. Oh man. You better make up with her because you can't bring your dog.
Yeah.
Oh man.
That's how you saved them every time. Huh?
Yeah.
So you where'd you start? Like, where'd you come?
Where'd I come from?
Yeah. Where'd you live? Mars. Where you born? Yeah.
No, actually, okay. I'm a Navy brat. Okay, so I was born in. I was born in San Diego, but it's not really San Diego. I was born in Coronado, on the island of Coronado, which is a military annex. And so, yeah. And it was there's a bridge. They got a real neat bridge over to Coronado Island now. But back when I was born, it was a ferry. And my mom was in labor like forever with my brother, my older brother. So she figured they had plenty of time, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So they didn't. She's only in labor 45 minutes with me, right?
Oh, my God.
I know. So they get on the ferry, and my dad always says, oh, you were almost a fairy princess.
Oh, that's good.
I know. And he's like, and I tell my mom, I'm like, you know what? I try to make everything as easy for you as possible. I always have, and you don't appreciate it. It's the mother-daughter thing, right?
Yeah. It's because the other kids, man, they messed it up for you. You could have been the good one.
I know, right? I could have been.
Is that why you travel? Like you feel, you always feel the need to go do something, move, travel, because you guys do a lot of traveling. Mm-hmm.
But we didn't. That's in the retirement thing.
Yeah. Is it?
Okay. We didn't do that. We didn't do that before. No, we do it now because you know we can. And
it was actually,
when we were on that cruise for 23 days, we were hiding from Danielle, my daughter, because she was pregnant and she's so mean. She's pretty mean. It was like and it was like because we go well, they don't have internet on the ship. It's broken. And then we go into port and I call her. She goes, I had the baby. And I go, okay. I get on the ship. I get the internet. And I'm like, she goes, I'm like FaceTiming her. And I'm like, hey, show me that baby. Show me my grandbaby. She goes, I thought it was broken. Well, they just got it fixed. Because she's like, boom, unmean after she has the baby.
Yeah. As soon as it happened.
Yeah. And so I'll need to see my grand. But even if she'd have been mean, I needed to see my grandbaby. It's like, let me see my grandbaby. But wait till you have grandkids, man.
I can't wait to be a grandpa.
That's the coolest thing totally ever. Yeah. Blakely used to sleep on his stomach when he's got the big stomach, and when she would drink a bottle, I have pictures of her. She wants to lay back on him like this and drink her bottle, and she'd be like, and he when she'd stay with us. And we just put her in the bed between us or something. No, she don't want to sleep like that. She wants to sleep on his stomach. And she's got it. He's like, I can't sleep like this. I said, too bad.
That's how you sleep now.
When she's here, that's how you get to sleep. Where's your little monkey? Is it under your fat roll? Give her a little monkey. She has a little monkey.
Whatever it takes to make him quiet.
That's what she wanted to do.
Yeah. Oh, really? That was it.
Yeah. This is like.
Oh, that's sweet. That'd be sitting on the. On the couch there in the living room watching TV, and she'd be up there just all sprawled out on the deal, and I'd be down at one end, and she'd have the rest of it, but she'd be up against me over there. That's where she wanted to be.
And she looked like an old guy on the couch drinking a beer because she'd drink her bottle.
One eye open. Milk drunk.
She loves her papa. She does love her papa. She's so cute.
That translates to today too? Or is
yeah.
It?
Yeah.
Well, oh, yeah. When I had the I've had both knees replaced, and each time I went into the hospital to get that done, she had to come up there and see me. Mm-hmm. She had to come up there and had lunch with me or whatever, but she had to, and I had the heart attack, and
she was
when
up there,
I first had the heart attack. Of course, Kitty showed up, and as she went down, she hollered at Danielle saying, "You know, I'm going to the hospital." Mm-hmm. Danielle showed up and checked out everything, and then when Danielle left, she had to come back.
Yeah.
With Blakely. Blakely had to see me. Mm. She had to make sure I was there. I was alive. I was okay.
Yeah. She stood back there in the room kind of just biting her nails in ICU just watching him. Mm. Yeah. She had to
see me.
She had to see your papa.
No, that's sweet.
Let me tell you about that kid. I gotta brag on her. She's a cheerleader.
Oh, right? Yeah.
She's been tumbling since she was two. Okay. She can do 10 backflips.
Wow.
Let me tell you how she got to be a cheerleader. So she didn't even try out. She came home and she goes, I'm a cheerleader. And I go, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
And she goes, it is how it works. She goes, I backflipped into my class. And the teacher said, did you just do 5 backflips into my class? And she thought she was in trouble. And she said, yeah. She goes, you're a cheerleader because I don't have any trophies in that trophy case out there. I don't have anybody who can do this. Yeah. And I go, well, okay. I guess it sounds, you know, tryout is a technicality, right?
Yeah.
So she's been a cheerleader all this time. That's awesome. We're really proud of her. Yeah. She's firstborn.
Just backflip into any room at any point in time.
She can. She can backflip across the. We got a video where we're doing 11 of them backflips across the football field the other day. Yeah, she's very cool. We just bragging.
I've always wanted to do that. I've never been able. To
You wanted to backflip across the football field?
No, just any backflip. It's just like the cool thing to do, right? Like you always, as a kid, you're like, you see it on TV or whatever.
I'll tell you what, those cheerleaders are athletes. Uh-huh. They truly are. And she's been doing it since she's two. I don't know. You have to really start.
Yeah.
I think your body has to start when you're tiny to do it. So, and she's real tall. So it just looks like.
You could still do a backflip. Well,
Kitty actually started training her before that, but she didn't know she was training her to be when she'd be playing with her as a baby. Mm-hmm. And she'd be laying down on the floor with her and she'd pick her up and she'd put her on her feet. And have her up there. This is circus girl. And
she'd sit on the top of my feet and she'd go. I'd have my legs straight up and she'd be sitting up there.
That was the beginning right there.
That was the beginning.
She's the circus girl. Yeah. She's so cute. But anyway, and the rest of them are cute too.
So I wanted to ask, how's comedy changed in 20 years? How do you approach it? Like, what's the scene like? Is it different? Is it more inviting? Is it?
Let me tell you something that's kind of changed that I noticed, because I used to have a lot of religious jokes about my minister. People don't want to hear them. People don't want to hear you say God. People don't want to hear it. They really don't react like they used to do. So that and they used to bully people. Bullying was a good joke, you know, like making Rodney fun of somebody. They don't want to hear it now. Yeah. But what has happened too, though, is people want to talk more graphic and they want to talk more about functions, body functions, stuff like that. Now, and I always used to think, you know, when you say the word fart on stage, everybody's going to laugh. Yeah. Everybody's going to laugh. But I think it's a cheap joke. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think anybody can get up there and say it. But nowadays they're talking really gross, talking about things that are just like, to me, is like, ugh, that's grossing me out. And a lot of times, especially some of the younger male comics, they don't understand. Some women in your audience don't understand a lot of things. A lot of women are still naive, and they don't understand, you know, when you're talking about your fleshlight. And and I go, I tell them, I go, they don't, these people don't even know what you're saying. Well, that's a funny joke. Ask them. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know, I've been married all my life. I don't know what that is. I married when I was 17 years old, you know, or 18. Mm-hmm. And they don't know. Mm-hmm. And it's like, say things people know. But but it has changed, because I used to have like I do open with a joke, a minister joke about him having road rage. And he really did. Mm-hmm. and talking about him driving the church van. And people used to just die at that. Now I get reactions from it, but not like I used to, you know. And so even when I say, you know, like it's a God deal or something, mm-hmm. a lot of people have changed their beliefs through the years.
Yes, definitely seems like more of the audience has changed more than comedy. I mean, you have to adapt to what the audience mm-hmm. wants.
Right.
You know, so how they react.
Are you still doing jokes from back? Like,
yeah.
I mean, you got to have
the first joke I did was the 420 joke.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot.
And
to
I
do
still
that,
do that joke. Mm-hmm. And it still works.
Yeah.
You know, it's God's. Now, I do say it's God's idea of a joke, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it still hits. Yeah.
That it seems like that, too. It's like more people are making jokes about weed now because it is legal here, or, you know, medical. So it's like that seems like there probably wasn't as much weed jokes back then either.
It's a lot of, you know, people acting drunk and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is a deal. But. Yeah, so it's changed. It's changed quite a bit, mm-hmm. and the audience has changed. Yeah. Like, you know, I got my mic turned off because I was doing a joke and I used an Asian accent.
Oh,
but I was actually quoting the girl, and I was not making fun of her. She was giving me a hard time about my fortune not having a fortune in it, my cookie mm-hmm. not having a fortune in it. She acted like I was going to die, you know, because what does this mean? Yeah. You know, what does this mean? And she said, you'll be okay. Mm-hmm. See, and so that right there, that's what she said,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, and so I was quoting her, and then people were like, that's racist. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, whatever.
Because you're trying to sound like her.
Mm-hmm. I said, that's what she said. She said, you'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing, because it's like, it used to be, I know from watching comedy for us growing up all our lives, I mean, there used to be a lot more of that, people making doing accents and on stage, and it's like, you have to be careful with that nowadays.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that is kind of a sore spot for me, because when you can sit up there and talk about eating turds, but you cannot say, and I didn't say it in a mean way.
Right, yeah, it wasn't.
And it's like, that, what has happened to society? I mean, to me, it's like, that's... Or somebody get up there and just start like lecturing, you know, and it's like I'm doing now.
I think you've earned it a little bit, you know.
And you know what though, I was gonna say, when I first started comedy, okay, Roseanne Barr was a big deal, right? And so I'm heavy set white woman, get up on stage, and I'm telling you what, it took 45 seconds for people, because I timed this, to realize where I was coming from. Mm-hmm. I think they thought I was going to bash bash men, or be a man hater or something like that. Mm-hmm. So that's where I came up with the condom joke, because when I do the condom joke, it takes 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. I save 30. Isn't that funny that I figured that out?
Yeah.
I'm saving 35 seconds of them going, well, she just batshit crazy.
You have to. I do like that about comedy comedians. The best thing I think for a comic to do is to show the audience who you are
right at first. Right,
yeah, immediately.
Well, a lot of deals, and I told her, she started to get rid of the condom. I told her, no, you can't do that. That is your your little key. That is you. They know who you are from your that little part right there. And I said, you get all these comics, they get up, like at Bricktown, when we're up at Bricktown. Mm-hmm. Everyone, hey, Bricktown, hey, Bricktown, hey, Bricktown. You know, all of them. She's the first thing she does. She puts, I've been, I don't want to get anything off of this mic tonight.
Routine. It works every time.
It works, especially if I follow someone gross.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going, and you know what? And that, and comics ought to key in on that, because if I can get on there and do that, after your act, you've grossed them out. You know? And they're going,
Did you ever just take a second, like look back a little bit?
I do. I go like, I go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's something, too, I see a lot. I mean, the best kind of the opening bits that people can do is usually talking about someone that just got off stage or talking about one of the other acts. I mean, just making a comment that's funny.
Yeah.
Or making a comment about the room, I say a lot. But yeah, that's an interesting thing that I hadn't thought about with that joke, because you are making a comment on everyone that's been up before you in a way, and making that, you know, making people think back to what happened before in a way.
So yeah, if you were traumatized by the comic before me, I'm giving you the punch.
Yeah, but like, even if you aren't,
just punched him in the face.
It's still a good joke for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's getting kind of, I don't know. You know, when we were at the Looney Bin too, Terry and Larry were the ones that, you know, kind of defined comedy insofar as stage, how you can act on stage. Mm-hmm. And Terry was a stickler of like, no, that joke is not in my club. Yeah. No, can't do that in my club, you know. And she kept a lot of, what happened was when Bricktown opened, a lot of her teachings actually went over there, and people were behaving in the same manner. And then through the years, it's gotten, you know, people, and I get it, freedom of speech. I understand the freedom of speech, you know, I'm all for that. But we had kind of more a rigid
kind of a structure.
Yeah. Structure on what was acceptable and what was not.
Yeah. Kind of guidelines.
Yeah. And so we have some great comics. I mean, we have some good comics, and I have to be open-minded to things. And I'll tell you what, the Ugly Flamingo has helped me so much, because I'm, and I think most people are this way. You meet somebody and there's something about them you don't like, or they say something and you don't like it, or, you know, you kind of get, I guess it's discriminate against them, and not for color or anything. It's or sex or gender or whatever. It's just something about them that just rubs you the wrong way. And so there's people that I just really don't, have never worked with, because I just, something about them.
The vibe or something is off.
Right, to me. But then what happens to me, which is great, this is keeps me growing and keeps me alive and my brain open, is like, I'll say, hey, Nick, you know, you want to host? And Nick goes, yeah. I tell him, get your own comics. Go get your own comics. I just say, don't get 50 of them. Just get your own comics. And so he goes out and maybe gets somebody in this group that I have already... And so I don't say anything. I just don't say, it's his show, right? I don't say anything. And then I come up there and I work with that person. And then I realize a lot of times I'm wrong. I'm wrong that this person, I like them. You know,
Specifically?
Just a lot of them, because I'm a snarky old lady.
It's been 20 years.
I'm snarky.
Well, what are some of the major takeaways of doing comedy for so long? What are some of the tenets that you kind of live by? What have you learned that's most important?
I just learned. One of the things that is different from like my peers that I attribute to comedy is the fact that I can keep an open mind, and actually I'm in the terminology, the modern terminology, you know, like I can say fleshlight to my friend and they're like, what?
You know? Yeah, so you're keep up with that kind of stuff,
keep
right?
up with what's going on.
Yeah.
In fact, sometimes I tell people, young people, something, and they go, what does that mean? I'm like, I gotcha. Yeah. No, but, you know, keeping an open mind, I think that's it. And you know, it's like we're supposed to be retired watching Wheel of Fortune all day mm-hmm. and Steve Harvey and stuff like that. And we don't. We work, and I have to keep working with people. So I have to keep a tolerance and a patience. Mm-hmm. And
got to make sure Dennis is alive.
We got to make sure. And we, you know, I do a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, when I do 8 hours of work, I feel like I'm kind of on the yellow bus and I do it slower than most people. Oh, yeah. And I think too much about stuff. And then I'm too holistic, and it takes time to be holistic, mm-hmm. you know, because then I go like, why don't I like Nick? And then I go and sit down and eat some grapes and meditate and think about it.
What'd you come up with?
I love Nick. He's just too lovable.
Yeah, that's fucking true. All right, yeah, that's how I got true. Liz, man.
Yeah, I know. You married up. You truly did.
All right, she did all right, too. All right, calm down.
You know, I brought you some candy.
Why does everybody say that?
I brought you some candy.
Well, that's how you get a fat boy happy. That's
it. You know what? And these, I was talking about these last night. Have you guys seen these? The fun dips. Yeah. This is the kind I buy mm-hmm. because I hate these. I really hate these. These are like crack for kids, right? Mm-hmm. It's got the sweet tart thing, and then they flip this open and they dip it in there and eat it. Mm-hmm. So here's what I do. You get like these at Aldi's, mm-hmm. Aldi's, however you want to say it. Anyway, I get these. They're $5 a box, mm-hmm. and I get 44 of them. Oh, wow. Yeah, so I get $20 worth of these things, which is cheap for Halloween candy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it. Cheapness. But the kids love this. This is their favorite one. So I give them one free like a drug dealer. I give them one free. And I go, do you want another one? And they're like, can I have another one? And I say, you want to trade? And I say, what do you got in that bag? What do you got in that bag? And I swear, this is the truth, right? They open their bag and it's like, oh, yeah, I'll take that Three Musketeers right there. And then you got any big bars? You got, if you give me big bar, I'll give you five of these.
Oh, my God,
so I kind of live in the ghetto, right?
Yeah.
But across the street, they built all these big houses. And I'm like, listen, here's what I want you to do. Go over to the big houses. Have your parents take you over there. Get the big bars. Come back, right? Last year, when 9 o'clock, we're getting... I got the big bars. How many you got? Okay. Right?
Yeah.
Because we're not going to eat these.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of times we take them up to the church, what's left over, you know, if the mm-hmm. kids don't come back. But we'll answer that door till 11:30 because they're hustling. They're out there hustling. It's like I've sent them out into the world.
Beating up other kids, getting these candy bars, trying to get your fun dip.
I know, because I don't know what it is. I can't stand these things. And there's a lot of people who love them. Like when I got off stage, I told that story on stage last night. When I got off stage, I had comics sitting there waiting. Can I have a fun dip? Yeah, I don't want them. We got to trade.
Just surrounded by a bunch of kids. That's all.
I know, right?
You notice what table that big bowl of candy that was out?
Yeah.
You notice what table it ended up on?
On my table. Yeah.
I had quite a bit of that.
We had the excuse. We have a pregnant girl at our table, and we need the candy.
Yeah.
And then we wouldn't give her any. No.
I didn't know you were pregnant.
No, not me.
No, this girl Stephanie Stevens out there, she did great.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. And she's so cute. And her little boy is so sweet. She posts pictures. I'm going to tell you what, too. It's like I've met this whole community of people, and I really am not an up close and personal person. So I get to love you all at a distance. Mm-hmm. You know, and Anna brought her child up there last night. And she is so cute. She is just adorable. They call her Q. Q?
Oh,
is that right?
Her name. Yeah.
Q. Quinn. Her name is like...
I don't think they wanted people to know what her name
was. Oh, okay.
That's why I did that.
So you call her Q, yeah.
Yeah.
She's so cute. And she made me smile. That made me smile. But all the kids, just like, I love seeing that when I'm doing the Facebook scrolling. In fact, my algorithms only shows people's pictures of their babies and grandbabies.
Oh, no.
Their ponies and their puppies. And I like, because I like that. It makes me happy.
But that's
what's awesome about doing this, right? It's like getting to be a part of a community, because it's like you're saying, if your guys didn't do this, you'd be sitting at home by yourselves. I mean, maybe you have a community at church or whatever, but
right.
I mean, you wouldn't have as many friends and people to meet and all that,
and be interactive in the world.
Yeah. So Nick, I was telling him, we went to El Reno to ride the haunted trolley, which is very cool. We go every year, and I'm sitting there on the trolley, and people come by, hey, Miss Kitty. And I'm just like, hey, Hey, mm-hmm. But when we go out, when we travel, we try to hit open mics.
Yeah.
Okay. So we were in South Dakota. I'm going to let Frankie tell this one.
What, the one in Rapid City?
Yeah.
Yeah. We went to, we wanted to go see the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so we traveled up there to Mount Rushmore, mm-hmm. and we stopped in Nebraska someplace and choose an open mic that we did there. And then we went to Rapid City and open mic there. And it was real funny. From Oklahoma, an older lady. The guy gets up and introduces, says, well, we got a comedian from Oklahoma. It's a little old lady, so I don't know how funny she's going to be. I don't know how she's going to, we don't know Oklahoma. And she gets up there and she puts a little, she just her regular start, puts the condom on, tells her regular little first run joke. Mm-hmm. Right then, the whole place erupted in laughter. Mm-hmm. She was telling her joke, the one that she talks about my mother. Mm-hmm. And there's like three parts of it that you go through and she kind of hits them pretty fast, but mm-hmm. she had to stop because they were laughing so hard. Yeah. At the, like there was three different punchlines. And mm-hmm. I mean, and the guy got up there after that and says, well, I guess we know Oklahomans are funny. Yeah,
so thanks for representing.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even let me go on. I only did I probably did 2 minutes worth of material in a 5 minute spot because they were laughing so hard. I actually had to stop and let them go. And wow.
She had literally had to stop because they were laughing so hard at her.
Nice. Yeah. Way to go, Missy. 20 years of experience. Yeah.
We went to Lincoln, Nebraska, right?
Yeah.
And we were in a rental car and I said, hey, let's just take Uber over, you know, to the bar. And so we take an Uber over there and apparently everything closes down at midnight in Lincoln, Nebraska. And we could not get an Uber back to the hotel. Yeah. And so, you know, I've been married 5 or 6 times, give or take a time or two. And so I said to Frankie, because Frankie's pretty innocent. And I said, babe, I said, we got to get a ride back to the hotel. And I said, just don't say anything. Just watch this.
You put your leg out there?
I got us a ride.
Did you really?
Yeah. That's one thing about Kitty. I'm very, I don't know, conservative, whatever. I really don't approach people very well. I'm very standoffish. Yeah. There's nobody Kitty hadn't met, nobody she's not going to talk to. Mm-hmm. She goes to a club. If you notice Kitty, she circulates. Yeah. She has to talk to every table.
Go to each table.
She she doesn't sit back. When I'm worried about my jokes. I have to study. She's out there talking to the people.
Mm-hmm. Which I think
She does it at Bricktown. I mean, any place we go to, she's talking to them. Mm-hmm.
But, and he lets me. He doesn't.
You know, I sit back. I mind the table. Make sure everything's safe. She's out there. She's out there. Snoozing all the people.
I think that's great. I think that more comics could do well by doing that because you get to know the audience before you go up. And then that way, it's like you can start coming up with jokes for each table to talk about if you wanted to, just by your conversation or, you know, something like that. I think that's a really good way to get in, you know, the audience on your side and get them involved in some way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you can say their name if you got their name, and then you've already ingratiated yourself with them.
There's always something I've liked about you, Kitty, that you'll make comics out of just audience members. how many people that I've seen you, you know, talk to you at a show, and then the next show they're on the show.
A lot of people though are coming because they have that on their bucket
list. That's why they want. I've heard that too.
I got to tell you guys something about Frankie here. This is, you can probably cut half this out if you want to later because I just talk too much. So anyway, when I met Frankie, he had been in a long-term relationship. Mm-hmm. I didn't break it up. He was already divorced. But he was the guy, he was the deacon of his church. Mm-hmm. He was the guy that was there every time the church doors were opened, mm-hmm. right? So when he went looking for somebody for his next relationship, he wanted totally opposite of what he had. Mm-hmm. And this is what he came up with. I was actually met him on Match.com. I put a deal up there. And my sister said, because it was crazy. It was crazy. And I said, I'm not wasting time, man. I'm just getting right to the point. I'm telling people, right?
Yeah.
So he sends us a little note that says, if you're a real person, I want to meet you.
Yeah.
Because it was that weird. Because my sister said, no one's going to answer that. And I said, all I need is one. I don't want to just cut through all. Just one. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not walking on the beach hand in hand. There's no beaches in Oklahoma. Hello. Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, he was, he's so innocent. He is just really innocent. And we were in Galveston. We were in Galveston. And I just like to mess with him. I like, because he still has that in his heart, right? And so there was a girl, there was a woman, she was our age, and she was at the bar by herself. And we were at kind of a seafood place, and it was club kind of slash seafood place. And so I said, hey, let's pick up that woman over there. And he's like, what? And I go, watch this. And so I tell the waiter, I go, what's that girl drinking? Lady drinking over there. And he's told me. And I said, just send her one from us. And Frankie's like, what?
Speaking of bucket list, right?
What?
And I didn't know how well I'd have to perform that night.
I said, just, you can hold the camera and watch, okay? And I was like, and he's like, Kitty, what? So he's like, his heart is like beating out of his chest. You can see it. And I'm just messing. I'm really just messing with him. Right? And so the lady gets the beer, and you can see her go, you know, say, well, you know, who sent it? And when it does. And she gets up, and she's starting coming over there, and he's going, because he's, and what was kind of funny, he's open for whatever I want to do right there. And so, she comes over there and she says, hey, thanks for the beer. And I said, oh, you know, you remind me of a friend of mine that I used to haven't seen for years. I said, I just want to send you a beer. And he's like, he's disappointed. but at the same time, he has no clue where this is going.
Someone was going to end up disappointed that night.
but relieved. So, yeah, I do stuff like that to him all the time.
Oh, that's sweet. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And when we first got together, he's so shy because, like, we went into a liquor store together, and it was really busy, and they weren't waiting on us. And so I just do weird stuff. And so I would go up to the girl, and I go, have you heard of the Secret Shopper? And she went, oh! And she's like, what can I help you with? And, you know, and she's ignoring everybody else in the store. He is turning, like, all shades of red. And he's like, that's embarrassing. Yeah. I don't like it when you do that. I said, well, you better get used to it. This is me. This is how we roll.
It's gonna be, I think that's a part of any good comic, is that you can just, I'm going to put myself in a weird situation just to see what happens.
Sometimes she, I can just walk in a room and it's a weird situation. Yeah. And
just,
like,
ask Dave, how many things have I put you through, dude?
Yeah. It's like a similar relationship. That's what I think is, like, interesting about y'all's relationship. It's like, I'm probably similar to Frankie too, but most of the women that I'm attracted to are the loud, and, you know, weird ones.
Obnoxious.
Or, you know, just the ones that want to be the center of attention, which I don't want to be, you know, but it works, I think, in a way, like when you're in that relationship together.
We went to, he wears that hat that makes him look like the guy from Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah.
And he got called out the other night when we were at Libby and, what's her name? Libby and Tina's show. Yeah, we went to their show at Bricktown. Uh-huh. And he was sitting there, and Libby kept calling him the Jurassic Park guy. And I'm like, you know what? I'm the comic, and everybody's paying attention to you. You have this whole room at this point, right? And then she did this thing where she asked for pictures and asked for stuff, and I sent this picture of me, and then I was going, or something, and she put that up on the screen, and then I started getting attention, and so I was like, we just had the whole room, and I'm like,
that's great.
We just come in and take over. What are we doing here? It's fun, though. We have a good time. We really do.
This was at Bricktown?
Yeah, it was at Bricktown. Yeah, you know, Trailer Park Tammy. Trailer Trash Tammy. Yeah, Libby is her, like, sidekick, but Libby and Tina were on tour, and they were here, what was it, Sunday? Sunday at 4 o'clock. Saturday at 4 o'clock. I'm sorry, last Saturday at 4 o'clock.
But it was a good show. And
it was. I love them. They can do any. They can do nothing. They could just stand there, and I would love them. I love them.
You said
I love
Libby
them.
And Tina. All right, I'm gonna look
Libby and Tina. Yeah, they're part of Trailer Park. Actually, if you look on my Instagram, I've got a picture of us all
what
together.
What is your Instagram?
My Instagram. It's Kitty Gilligan. G I double L I G A N spells Gilligan. She's a ham. Come be her fan. You can find me on Instagram, Kitty Gilligan. That's me.
And that's all we wanted. All right, we're done. We did it.
All right.
That was great.
It's nice. Yeah.
That's so fun. Whenever you guys do that, that's super fun.
Yeah.
So Libby and Tina, before we get out of here, I gotta get going. I gotta go. Get ready for the show that we've got tonight.
Yes, we have a show tonight.
With Caleb McCurry. Dennis. Yes. Dennis the Menace, the Granny Freak. Any grannies out there, come say what's up.
Yeah.
And then we have Todd Irwin and Jeannie
Randall,
which are two people that you just
picked up at one of your shows.
Picked at one of our shows. You were
That's why I saw her on there. I was like, what is she doing on stage?
She's adorable on stage. She's adorable stage presence. She's adorable. She's cute. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's a realtor. She's used to talking to people and doing stuff like that.
She giggles a lot. She's got a real childlike, persona. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying, I mean, it's cute.
Yeah.
She comes off as just adorable. Mm. You know, she doesn't come off as old and grumpy like me.
It's a good juxtaposition.
Snarky, old and grumpy. And that's going to be in Broken Arrow.
Yep.
At the Go Theater tonight. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, they've got a haunted house there also. And if you buy our tickets, you get haunted house tickets half price.
Yeah. So it goes from 30 to 15.
Yeah. That's what I understand. Yeah. So
it's a pretty good deal. Honestly, you get a show and you get to be scared and you get to go see a show. That's pretty good.
I know. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. That's a great place. Have you ever performed there?
No, I'm really excited.
Yes. Yeah. It's a great place. Gene's a great guy. And they have axe throwing too.
Very similar.
If we bomb, we can go over there and throw some axes.
They've taken an old theater, the multiplex theater,
and they do have a theater.
And they turned it in, so they have different rooms for different things.
Right,
that's cool.
Well, one of them is for comedy and performances and shows and stuff.
So. How long has that been going on? How long has Go Theater been around?
I'm really not sure. I performed there. Time just flies. You know, I'll get that. 5 years ago, this happened, and I was like, 5 years? I still haven't paid those people yet. No, so it's been, I want to say about 2 or 3 years he's had, and I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but I performed there last year a couple times, so mm-hmm. It's a neat theater, and I like it, and you can get popcorn.
They got a concession stand.
And they have movies there too. He's got everything in there. It's like multi-purpose fun. If you need fun, go there.
Especially tonight.
Yeah, and there's a McDonald's out front, so you can. I don't know if he sells food, but I know he sells popcorn. He does. I think he has
popcorn, candy, and
concession
all
stand right there.
Well, you had me at candy.
I know. Yeah. Right.
So nachos. Something I like to ask. Being in comedy for so long, what does success look like to you?
I just kind of figured helping people, mm-hmm. helping people, giving people a chance, giving them time, to put together. People don't realize this, to put together 10 minutes mm-hmm. is a big deal, So they let you have 4-5 minutes on stage if you can sign up at the comedy club, and that's a lot because you can bleed out in 4 minutes, that, right? That's a lot.
I do every time I go up there.
Yeah, and so you can die in 4 minutes, but the thing about it is like to be able to give somebody 10 minutes because that was hard to get. Mm-hmm. That was hard to get, and that's one thing about the Ugly Flamingo. You can get, it's not unusual to get 10 minutes over there. Mm-hmm. So to help people, teach them how to host, to help them, because it's like we got everything we need, we're good, I mean, we have enough. So it's like just helping people, meeting people, helping them get their dreams, mm-hmm. And if it's just your bucket list to get up there and do
just
it,
to try it,
that's to, it's like, yeah, you got to try it. Mm-hmm.
That's how she gets so many people. A lot of times they come up, well, I'd love to do that. She says, come on. She didn't say, well, you'd need to work on it. So she, come on right here,
try it.
She will bring them on. She's mm-hmm. she'll tell them, says, I've got a show, I can give you 5 minutes, show up. Mm-hmm. That's all you got to do.
That's beautiful.
Because it is hard to get up there. It's hard to find places to mm-hmm. let you do it, And it's like you can do it with your friends, but it's different. When you're sitting there like mm-hmm. bantering back and forth, it's a whole different ballgame than getting up there and having the lights in your eyes. And I tell people that at Bricktown because they'll go like this. And I say, listen, I'm going to tell you something. This is your first time. You won't be able to see anything except the people on the side and the people right down in the front. And I'm like, don't do this.
Yeah.
Don't do that because we don't know that you can't see us.
Right. Yeah.
Listen, use your ears.
Do you play in the room? Do you just like play to the room or do you look at people or you just kind of do a little bit of both? Sometimes I'll go off a sound.
Mm-hmm. You have to kind of over there, like a porpoise, hear it bouncing. A lot of times I can't hear the sound, And I don't hear the laughter and stuff like that. I don't know why I tune that out. Maybe it's because I was a telephone operator for so long.
Yeah.
I tune it out.
Do you think there's none there?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I do. So, like, when I record it, and I suggest people recording their stuff, yeah, because it's like you record it and you play it back and you go, man, these people really liked me. They're laughing.
Yeah.
And you're going, I didn't hear that when I was up there.
It feels different when you're done. That's like, for me, I'm playing music. I get that a lot because you have so much going on. You can't pay attention to what people perceive of you until you watch it back.
So when you ask, though, do I play the room or do I play a person? What I usually do is I look for someone who's having a good time up front, and then I play that person.
Yeah.
I was at a show one time, and there was a gal right in the front, and she was like,
yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, that was hard, because I was trying to – there was people that were responding, but it was like she was – and then I get challenged myself.
Make her laugh. Yeah.
One time I did a show, and this, you know, when you're in high school and you have that one crush that you just love so much, and you just like love him so much. He ended up at one of my shows, right? And it was that guy who, like, when you see him, you go, you know, never talk to him ever, but you're in love with him totally, right? And so he came to my show, and he was in the second row. And he was sitting there, and I'm an adult now, you know, I've been married several times, but still it was that little thing in my heart. And I was like, he wasn't laughing. Mm-hmm. He was not laughing. And I thought, man, I'm just going to keep, I played to him, actually played the whole show to him. The whole auditorium was full, played to him. And then finally, when he started laughing, I started laughing and I said, I gotcha.
Yeah.
And then after the show, he comes out there and he goes, can I hug you? And I went, that little like 14-year-old kid came back and went,
hell yeah.
I wanted to say no and run away. No, I hugged him and I was like, I can't believe this. I can't believe it. I'm hugging this guy.
How long ago was it?
It was before COVID. It was November of 2020. We did it at the Paramount. It was, we had that theater downstairs and we had it full.
Really? That's nice. That's a good theater. The Blue Seat Theater, the one that
downstairs
holds 100. We had it overpacked. They actually brought in more chairs.
That's when people were still,
how do you get people out to your shows? Is it just begging? What are you doing?
I exploit a lot of that.
Give them candy.
Blackmail. Anything works.
My brain always, that's an issue. That's an issue. And I've seen you out on the canal, like, dragging people off the boat, throwing life jackets and saying, swim. Yeah. Swim this way. Yeah. No, it's hard. That's hard to get an audience. And to even, I found, like, I have all the social media and stuff like that, but what works best is just to talk to people. Mm-hmm. They want to, people are so overflooded by media, you know, and I mean, people go, oh, I knew you were doing that show. Well, okay. But when you just walk up to somebody like you do, walk up to somebody and go, hey, you want to come in? Mm-hmm. We used to, when we did that place downtown, I had this little, down in the district, I had this little sign that I had made that folded down. Mm-hmm. It was like a homeless guy sign, except I had little ropes on it, and it said comedy, and then I'd let it go and it'd say free tonight. And I'd just stand out there and talk to people, and they would come in, you know? So,
yeah.
I think talking to people and just telling them, hey, I got some puppies in the car. You know, I don't know. Just
anything,
talking to people. Yeah.
You're, it's a half a step away from puppies in the car, though.
It is.
It really is.
It is. Like, see, I'm giving out candy and puppies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, will you please come to our show?
Right.
Yeah. But I feel like if you show them how excited you are, too, like, hey, we're putting together the show, you can help us make comedy bigger in OKC, then a lot of times they will help you. They want to come to a show.
Yeah. And see, and I get a lot of comics, too, and stuff like that that come and things like that. And I love comics. They're so funny. How come I haven't been on your show? Well, you first off never asked. Yeah. I didn't even know you knew who I was. Well, no, when people usually do approach me and ask me, can I get on a show, you know, or whatever? I hear it. Mm-hmm. I hear them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and there's so many comics and there's so many people that I do like and stuff. And one of the problems, too, for me, and I don't know if you have this problem booking, is like people will tell me yes, or they'll put me off because they're waiting for something better or whatever. And so it's like, I people go, you keep booking the same people. Well, yeah, because we're going to different places, but I'm booking the same people because I know it's like you. Okay, Nick, will you be on my show tomorrow? No, I can't. I've got whatever going on. Yeah. Okay, period. End of conversation. You told me no. Or yes. Yes, I can be there. Okay, period. End of conversation. I know you'll be there. You know, but when you get people who go, you get three chances, people, with me. You get three chances. Okay, you tell me you're going to be there, and then you're not there, and you don't call, but I find out you're in jail. That's fine.
Yeah, that's different.
That's beyond your power.
At least that could have happened to anybody.
I know. And
the trouble is
happened.
When you call and say you're going to work overtime, and then you find out he ain't got a job. Yeah. Where are you working at?
It's actually all my husbands in the past have given me the power to deal with all this. You know, it's like I've got to work overtime. Well, you don't even have a job, dude. Man, that reminds me of, yeah, I've been there.
I just do it like kind of, we just go, oh, well, this didn't work. And then we kind of move again. Like you said, and oh, it didn't work again. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that didn't. All right. Well, let's wait a year or two and see.
See if you get new tires.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. So you only got one more tire.
But there's still some people that I'm like, they screw me over a couple times. I'll be like, I'm still going to work with him. I think he's hilarious. Yeah. You know?
See, and that's it. You know, like a lot of times people are really good, but they're more in demand, you know, and stuff like that. And so it's like,
I think, it's probably about how they tell you to. If they say, you know, look, Kitty, I'm really sorry. I can't do the show. I got this really big opportunity. I mean, I think that's okay. You can be like, well, at least they were nice about it and try to tell, you know. But again, you can only deal with that so many times.
See, I am more in that semantics to me. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
because
I just say, I was raised with brothers and I like think like a man. And so it's like, did you show up? Did you not show up?
Yeah.
I don't care if you apologize or didn't apologize to me. Mm-hmm. You don't have to. You don't owe me nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, whatever. But like you said, there are people there that, you know, I don't chase you too long. But, you know, and then a lot of people will come back and say, I'd like to do a show. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't like people to change at the last minute. Mm-hmm. Just tell me.
Yeah.
You know,
up front. Yeah.
Yeah. I've had people say, yeah. If nothing better comes along.
Right.
And, you know, like at the Ugly Flamingo, we don't pay. There's no money over there. Mm. And it's like, I get it. You know, if you, you know, but that's why I bring in a lot of people, because then if somebody doesn't show up, everybody gets a couple more minutes. Mm-hmm. So that works.
Well, that's really for people learning anyway. That was where I got my first 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. It was Ugly Flamingo.
Some people want to come and practice, though. Yeah. Some people want to come up there and practice their art. And I had one show. I mean, God is good. There I go again. But I had one show and I had everybody drop the ball for me. And I was like, man, I don't even know what I'm going to do. I don't even know what I'm going to do. And all of a sudden people started coming in and there were comics coming. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey, dude, can you do 10 minutes? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, sure. You know, my notes are in my car. Let me go get them.
That's it. Oh, Mind Palace now, though. You don't carry around notes. Yeah. I don't even see you with a note in your hand.
I know, because of you, that was a game changer for me. Yeah, game changer. Yeah, you call it the Mind Palace.
20 years.
Yeah, Mind Palace. And it was like anxiety about like the whole thing is like, what if I get on stage and I totally forget everything and go blank? Mm-hmm. So with the palace, do I call it the palace? I call it the castle. I call it the cat. Mine's a castle. Anyway, so all I have to do is think about a place in my house. Mm-hmm. Just think about a place in my living room, and there's my joke. Mm-hmm. Because Nick told me about this great system. Mm-hmm. He just mentioned it on a podcast, I think.
Yeah, 4 or 5 times.
But I heard it once, and then I was like, what is he talking about? And I ask you, because I do. And, but I've always been that way. I've always had problems with memorization. Yeah. Because director assistant's telephone operator, take 1,000 calls a day. Mm. You ask me for the number for the police department. I give it to you. Hang up. I don't remember anything you said. I go to the next call. Mm-hmm. It's like, so basically I taught myself to forget everything because I can't be thinking, did I give him the right number? You know, you got it. Yeah. You're gone. Right. So it's like, when you mentioned that, I was like, what is that? And you said you assign a joke to, like, you get a room and you assign a joke to every place in your living room or whatever. And so it's like, I do that. But the problem is I have a coffee table. And my coffee table is piled full of crap. It's the place where, and so there's like 50 jokes on my coffee table, but I can go to my coffee table in my head and go.
But they're all there.
They're so, there.
Yeah.
I can go any place, you know, I can go. Yeah. I can go to my, my TV is me riding an electric bike with my grandson on the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're 5 years old. Yeah, your nana comes to pick you up on an electric bike. You just elevated to rock star status.
Yeah, with the little spike.
He has a mohawk helmet.
Mohawk
yeah.
helmet.
Yeah. Yeah, and then when I ride it over to the junior high, yeah, I wear the mohawk helmet. And she's like, oh, my God. Everybody at the elementary is like, oh, look at that. Everybody at the junior high, except for there's a handful of little nerd guys going, oh, is that your nana? I just fell in love with the cheerleader. But no, she's like, oh, come and get Nana. And then mom goes, stop forgetting stuff. You know she's going to show up over there on that darn bike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time we've had a couple times where there was some threats at school, you know, and you know, have to get the kids out of there and stuff like that. And I'm like, hey, I can go get him on my mohawk helmet. With my mohawk helmet. I can get in there. I got a seat on the back. I said, which one you want me to go get? You know?
Yeah, you only get one.
Yeah. I could take the cheerleaders out one at a time. Yeah. You know, get on the back, girls.
Put on this helmet.
I don't know. Maybe you can get a pyramid of them back.
Yeah.
Well, they're cheerleaders.
They're cheerleaders. I need the bases piled up. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, tell everybody where to find you. What you got? Anything coming up that's going to be fun?
We've got the Ugly Flamingo on the last Wednesday of the month. I believe that's the 30th, and it's going to be a Halloween party. Bring some snacks if you want. Cheyenne Walker's doing it. She's hosting. She's bringing in some great people. She's very energetic. I love her.
Oh, did you meet her last night? Is that
no? Cheyenne? I met her a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
She came on my boat. Wasn't she? Yeah, she was on the boat tour.
Oh, cool.
And so she's doing it, and she wants everybody to dress up like mummies or whatever, just blood and you know guts and stuff and shredded clothes, monsters, you know, monster kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mummies, I think she said. Yeah.
Zombies, whatever.
Zombies, mummies, zombies. Yeah, and you know what? I'm bringing a little charcuterie board and. If you want, come by, bring some candy, you know, or eat some candy or whatever, beg for candy, you know, maybe I'll bring some fun dip, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so everybody
and
can have
the beer's cheap there. It's good drinks.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It is.
It's a good bar. It's not expensive.
No.
Been there forever.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. And they're really nice in there. They're real nice. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah. After
depends
I say that.
Depends on the day, but yeah.
Yeah. No, they are. They've always been very, very good to me. Very accommodating. So
they've been into it every time I've been. People will come walk in and just kind of hang out, drink, have a good time.
They take really good care of us too, you know, on the sound equipment and stuff like that. They take really good care of us. And so it's been, come in, hang out, have some candy. I'm bringing a meat stick chopped up with some crackers.
You hear that? She's bringing you, Frankie.
Yeah.
No, that's my arm
chopped
candy.
Up.
Not chopped up. What's left? That's what's left of him. Now, I'm so thankful he's alive. I am.
Amen.
I'm so grateful.
We are. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I was going to tell you too, if you were the woman who didn't like your husband, you get him a t-shirt that says DNR. DNR.
DNR.
DNR. DNR. Do not. And then he's like, what does that mean? It's like, dirty and rowdy.
Ooh,
dirty and rowdy, baby. Dirty and rowdy.
All his life, dude.
So one of the paramedics, I told her that, right? And she said, you know, some people actually have that tattooed on their chest, DNR.
Oh, are they not allowed to resuscitate them?
But she said that we can't read that. And I said, what if you had the whole thing put on there, the whole form, and you had it notarized and a tattoo? She said, we have to resuscitate you.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, so that's
we'll
a waste of some money.
The shirt's not going to work.
Yeah, I know.
No. So you got Ugly Flamingo. Anything else?
Yeah,
so let me think. I'm going out.
Are there ballers anytime?
Yeah.
Plan?
Oh, we got something surprise, a big surprise. I'm working with somebody. Oh, we can't tell you, blah, blah, blah. So just watch for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I kind of am going, you know, I tried to kind of get December kind of back, but. Mm-hmm. And hadn't been doing a lot planning, but then all of a sudden, all these people are just like, "Hey, you know, hey, you know, hey." I'm like, "Cool, cool, cool." So yeah, I'm booked into next year, which is great. Book me, book me.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. It's easier than doing your own show because they just you just sit there and drink, and then they go, "Hey, come on up," and you go do your time, and you sit there and watch everybody else, you know, and then you collect your money instead of going, "Oh, like I said, come on." I'm like, you know, and deal it out and stuff, and.
That's what I love. I love going to do a show and not having to produce it because then you're like, oh, I can just leave at any time. This is nice. Like, I can just enjoy the comedy.
Yeah. I know. It's a lot of work. Putting together.
But it makes you better.
It does.
Because it puts that, once you work without that pressure on top of you, you're like, oh, this is great.
Yeah. You're just enjoying yourself. Yeah. That's what I like to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Frankie? What you got going on? You got anything coming up? Wink in the camera if you're scared. Like, let us know.
I was just looking at the calendar, what she's got. She's got Bricktown next Wednesday, she'll be performing there. And then she's got the Ugly Flamingo coming up on the 30th. And then on the 5th, she's back at Bricktown again that she's going through. She's kind of a little off on that. We got, trying to figure out what this is. Got the Echo card?
You got to pay that credit card?
Maybe the credit card. We got to get paid in there, yeah.
All them cruises.
We got a cruise coming up the 1st of December, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Guys, if you want to jump on that cruise.
Oh, yeah, we'd love to.
We'd love to cruise.
Yeah, watch my Instagram because I put it all up there, what I've got going on.
Yeah, that's where to find everything.
Yeah, right. And always at the end of the month, Ugly Flamingo, last Wednesday of the month, always. Yeah. Sketched in stone. Mm-hmm. Except December. Ashley's doing it in December, and we're doing it on the 18th.
Ashley Watson?
No, the other Ashley.
No, Ashley Bartlett.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dude, Ashley Bartlett is killing it lately.
I know she is. Yeah. She's adorable, isn't she? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love her.
I wanted to say this, too. I'm kind of excited about it. I'm going to go ahead and put it out there in the world. Right now, we've got Miss Kitty's going to be on with me. Put a Cork in It. In December 13th.
Yes.
Friday the 13th.
Sweet.
Yeah, which is going to be my headlining set at Put a Cork in It.
Okay.
So I picked all my favorite people, and you were one of them.
That's so sweet.
I picked you so I could see Frankie.
And, I know, right? Let me pull out my phone. If you're going to pull out your phone, because I have some stuff going on. Oh, yeah. I do. I have a bunch of stuff. I forget. I look at it at the beginning of the week, and then I start it.
That's like me. I don't even think about anything other than what's going on, like, tomorrow and the next day. It's all in the calendar, but I don't think about it until it's time for that.
Yeah. The day before, you're like, oh, shit, I had that.
Yeah.
But Will Davis is actually going to be hosting that show. Oh, nice. We got Bryce Maddox, and then Liz is going to do a set because she's my wife, and I wanted her to be up there.
She's so sweet. I love her.
I know. She's way better than me.
So on the 2nd, there's on the 2nd of November, we've got a deal at the Improv. It's an all ladies clean show. That's going to be a challenge for me. Mm-hmm. Be clean.
How'd you get on that?
I don't know.
Did you put that together?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Connie Lee. Connie Lee did that.
Oh,
and
yeah,
on the
Connie.
9th of November, we're going to be in Anthony, Kansas at a club called the Idle Hour. And then let's see what else I got here. We got another clean comedy show. God, I don't know how that's happening to me. Bill's over at Bill's Steakhouse on the 16th of November. Mm-hmm. And then let's see what this is.
Whatever happened to Whiskey Barrel?
They sold it, and it's not, they've got, it's a whole nother group that owns it out there now. So
November, Nathan Brown is going to host the Ugly Flamingo. We had a Chilino show in here somewhere.
Yeah.
What happened to our Chilino show? Comedy at... Oh, yeah. November 16th, Chilino's. Now, that's very cool because you can come and party and just eat and drink margaritas. They have a big room in the back and listen to comics. And I have to think about that one. I don't remember what I've done on that one. I'm serious. Yeah. I'm like living day by day.
On. Yeah.
Yeah. I just book them and get them and then I work on them. And that's what half the 8 hours I spend a day is just trying to figure out what I forgot.
Yeah.
You know?
You got to leave yourself some notes, some breadcrumbs.
Well, I do. Actually, I do. I have a system. Okay, so like I write it down in my calendar, and then I go back to and then I make a flyer.
Yeah.
And then I go back to my Instagram, and then I go, where am I supposed to be today? And then I find it, and then I go, let's see here. Oh, yeah. Oh, and I'm going to tell you what. I went to Opolis comedy.
Oh, did they do that?
Oh my gosh. Yes. It's the, let me see what it is. It's the second Wednesday of the month. And Jennifer Johnson does it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, she does something called the captain's chair, which is very cool. So if you wanted to work on a deal like a couple set, like if you and Liz wanted to work on it, it would be perfect. Because what she does is like, if I'm up and you're following me, I get the mic and you get the captain's chair and you can interrupt me.
Oh, that's cool.
It is. And it teaches the back and forth banter between comics, which I love Jennifer anyway. And yeah, that is just an awesome deal. Shenanigans. I got Shenanigans on November 2nd. That's what that's called. She play on the she. And at Bill's, we have the Unknown Comics going to be there, the special mystery guest. And yeah, that's what I got going on.
Yeah, a lot. You're always staying busy. That's always good to see.
Yeah,
we have to plan a vacation so she can rest.
Yeah, there you go.
And we don't rest on vacations.
Yeah. We just, out there too.
That's the one thing. We go someplace, and the first thing she does is, where are we going? Well, we're going to take this, like our bus tour we took to go up to the Cherry Blossom Festival. And so she looks, where are we stopping? Is there an open mic someplace?
Yeah, yeah. I do the same thing. Every time we leave the state.
Like we were on a bus trip. We're riding with all these people on the bus, and we stopped in Louisville, Kentucky. Well, there's a brick town in Louisville, Kentucky.
I signed up for it before we went.
She signed up. Yeah, she got signed up, got in on it. So we had to, once we got back to our hotel, we grabbed an Uber and off down to Bricktown we went.
Oh, that's cool. Is it? You can't just roll up to a Bricktown and be like, "Hey, I'm out of town. Do you think I could jump on?" Do they do that?
I think you probably could. We did it in Tacoma. We didn't, but we signed up in advance. Let me tell you what happened in Louisville. This was crazy. This stuff happens all the time. So there was a lady there named Crazy Kathy, and she's like a comedian. She's an older lady, great lady. We took an Uber over there because we were on the bus trip, right? And it wasn't very far from the hotel, but when we went to go back, the Ubers were like $30. And in the comedy community, we all, it's like you walk into any state, any place, you're a comic, they see you, they know you're theirs, and you're like a part of a family. You are truly a part of a family. And so I was like, man, I said to Kathy, I said, hey, can you guys give us a ride home? Because, you know, we'll pay you $20, but I want to pay in $30 or whatever. And so Kathy had her daughter there and her daughter's fiance. And Kathy's daughter said, take them home. So, okay, so we get in the car because I'll get in a car with any man. And I'm surprised I'm still alive. But anyway, so we get in the car and it's a really nice car. I don't even know what kind of car this was. And we're just talking and stuff. He's taking us home. And we get to talking to him. And he is actually the guy that called the Kentucky Derbies.
Oh, yeah.
He works at it.
He was the guy. Mm-hmm. He was the guy that does the mic at the Kentucky Derbies. And I looked at his Facebook page. They had guys laying down in the floor. And I guess each guy watches one horse and shouts at him. Yeah. And he tells what's going on out there. Amazing. And I'm like, because see, I pick up people. And I learn so much about them. And I meet so many cool people. And it's just because I'll get in the car with just about anybody. Yeah.
She'll talk to anybody.
Dead yet, so dude. You know, you're pretty good. You made it this far.
I know, right? It's just fun. I mean, it's fun to meet people and stuff like that. And then we're like, when we realized who we're in the car with, I'm like, and he goes, we're like, whoa, this is big dog.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for coming by. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much for telling the stories and hanging out and being so sweet and helping me.
Hey, thank you for everything you do for the comedy community. Oh, yeah. You know, people like you, you know, put it together and make it happen and help people achieve their dreams. You know, and we just have a good time because we ain't getting rich.
No, but it's sure fucking a lot of fun, isn't it?
It's a lot of work and it's a lot of fun.
Last night, man, I got off that stage. I was like, finally, I can be, like, stop worrying. I can go grab a drink and talk some shit.
Talk some smack out.
Yeah, dude. That's the first thing I got off. I was like, all right, I quit. Let me go.
Arrow's done a lot for everybody. Yeah. Arrow's great.
Arrow's getting really good at hosting.
He is.
Dude, I like when I first saw him do these, he was like a little bit, he had a few jokes, you know, but now he's sending out zingers in the middle. I was like, oh, go here.
Girl. And you know what? And his judges last night called it perfect. Mm-hmm. I think they did an excellent job. Really? The judges were.
I thought Sam Price had it, man. I really did.
Who ended up winning?
Al James.
Yeah.
I never met him. He said he's from here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have never met him either. He's good.
Yeah.
He is good. And you know what? I was expecting Sam too, but that was a good shot. That was a good call, what they did call. So, yeah. Like last time, I thought I should have won because I was in the zone last time. I was totally in the zone.
Yeah.
And I had people calling me saying, you should have won.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They told me the same thing.
Did they?
Probably the same people told you.
I know. Everybody's stirring stuff up. Yeah. Probably Dennis.
You probably could have beat. I don't know why Kitty did better than you did. Yeah.
Dennis says stuff like, better laughs at a funeral. Well, that's because all your friends are there. Yeah. All your friends from high school. We're at that age. That's where we socialize, dude. Yeah, that's where I pick. That's where I get my show, the people to go to my show. I go to a funeral the day before.
That's like a weekly potluck.
I know. Who's cooking? Are the Pentecostal ladies cooking? Because I love their food. Dude. What kind of funeral are we going to do?
Snake meat? I love snake meat. Hey, guys, we really appreciate you watching. Yes. Keep a lookout for us. Like, subscribe, do the whole thing. Tell David you love him. Send us some emails. Send us some messages so we can answer your questions. And come watch all the shows. That's all right?
Come see us in person.
See you later. Bye.
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 You didn't even ask me how much I weigh.
Yeah. Well, we got to have a second show.
You're saving that. He's telling me to listen.
I didn't want to put too much on this one.
Yeah. Gosh, we did it.
Hour 30 is pretty solid.
Okay.